A country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night will never be. A city where the storm clouds never gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the glassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ our Savior. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last I see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves just flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the glassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
Amen. Amen. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time, isn't it? The longer you go, I hope the more you're looking forward to heaven. Jesus Christ coming again. And heaven is forever. What a blessing that is. We're going to be in the book of Galatians this morning, please. Galatians chapter 6. As you find that, if you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together today. Or you can listen as we read that this morning. Galatians chapter 6, very familiar verses. Galatians 6 and verse number 7 through verse 9. I'll read that aloud as you follow along silently. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this time together to meet in your house, Lord. I pray for your blessing and help on the day you've given to us. Please fill me with your power and use this time, Lord, to speak to hearts and lives. I pray if there's one that's lost today, they would come to know you as their Savior, to believe in Jesus Christ that we've sung about and talked about all morning long. It's one thing to talk and sing about him. It's another thing to know him as your Savior. Help us, Lord, and meet with us, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Very familiar verses here in the passage. It talks about you reap what you sow. I don't know if the world realizes how many times that they quote Scripture, even though they say they don't believe in the Word of God. And this is one of those passages that you could look at as well. You reap what you sow. The Bible says, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." This passage of you reap what you sow is a farming principle. Now, I know that many of us are past the farming days. Maybe some of you do. Many times it's by choice, not by necessity. Back in the day, you farmed if you wanted to eat. And I know that there's many times been places where you could go to a market or to a store to get food, and we are so blessed to have so much produce and things that are grown here right in California. But back in the day, if you wanted something, you had to sow, you had to plant, you had to put it in the ground, and you had to put it in and take care of that. Why? Because you wanted to reap the benefits. And that day that you would come and you would get to reap the benefits of that fruit. I remember as a young boy, my family moved from Southern California up to the Sacramento area, lived in the foothills in a little town outside of a little town. And it was pretty small. We had some acreage, and my dad decided he wanted to plant as many trees as he could. And he had an oldest son, and that happened to be me. And when you have an oldest son, you say, "Hey, son, let's go and plant some trees." And I loved every minute of it. I joyed over it and said, "Thank you, Father, for this time to get to learn how to plant and dig and all that." So we get plants and trees. We had an orchard that we planted, and I don't remember eating one thing that came off it, I'll be honest. And we had apples and plums and cherries. Some of that still standing today. Others has been renovated over time. But we planted, I think it was hundreds, maybe thousands, I'm not even sure. Most of them were trees, though. And I counted them one time because it was my job to water them. And what else are you going to do when you go around with a hose? And when the hose didn't reach, I got the joy of a five-gallon bucket to help get to the rest of the way, which the hose wouldn't reach. You try the thumb technique and see if you can spray it the rest of the way. That only goes so far. But I go there and I water the trees and keep those going. But we'd plant. And many of those trees still are standing today, decades later, telling my age with that, but they're still standing today. Why? Because we took the time to plant, and you reap the benefits that come from that planting. Sometimes you plant and good comes from it, as we see in this passage here. Sometimes you plant and not so good comes from it. It depends what you're planting and how you're planting. You reap what you sow. I almost titled the message today, "You Asked for It." I thought that might be insensitive, and I asked my son if I should do that, and he said, "Well, Gramps would say that," and I said, "I don't know if I should then." You reap what you sow. We're all planting. We're all sowing. We're putting the seeds of our choices and our decisions in the ground every day. Every day you're making choices that you're going to reap the benefits someday, either for the good or for the bad, but it's coming. It's either coming in a good way, expectation, or it's coming in terror, but it's coming. You reap what you sow. These couple verses are preceded by two short phrases I want to look at the beginning of verse number 7. It says this, the first phrase is this, "Be not deceived." As we look at this principle about reaping what you're sowing, let's look at this first of all. The Bible says, "Be not deceived." Be not deceived. First of all, you're making choices today. You're making decisions today. I think it's a good choice to go to church today, don't you think so? What a blessing that is. You're planting seeds in your life. Be not deceived, the Bible says in your life. Be not deceived. To be deceived is to fall away from the truth. And how many today are falling away from the truth and believing a lie? There's many lies out there, but we have the chance for the truth from the Word of God. I don't know if you heard about it last Sunday, Easter Sunday, there was a bank robbery in Southern California. Burglars broke in through the roof, somehow did not set off the alarm system that went to the police. They broke in through a vault. They had no idea they were in the building until they showed up Monday morning to open the vault, to realize that $30 million in cash was missing. That's an inside job, if you ask me. None of you are leaving home today till we figure out who it is. But they came in that morning to open the doors and realized when they opened that vault, something had happened, and they were deceived. It was not the largest theft in Southern California. There's others. I think there was one of over $100 million of an armored truck. One was sleeping and one was off eating while they stole it, and no one found out. You're in the wrong business today, guys. You need to start looking. Don't do that. Be not deceived. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be lied to. I don't like to be stolen from. I don't like someone to do that to me. I don't want to be deceived. Number one today, to be deceived, don't lie to yourself. So many people today are lying to themselves that they think that they're good. They think that they are righteous. They think they are doing what's right when they're walking away from the truth. Isn't it scary how much our flesh can talk us into? Isn't it scary how much wickedness we are capable of? Hey, we like to point our fingers to the rest of this world, but what about for ourselves? The Bible says, be not deceived. It's scary how good we think we are sometimes, how strong we think we are, how smart we think we are until we realize we weren't as smart or as strong as we really thought we were. We are deceived. The Bible says in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How many people today are going around and they're proclaiming their own goodness, but yet the Lord is trying to show them that they're sinners? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he, what? Fall. We live in a deceived society where we think that we are pleasing God with our actions today, that our righteousness somehow of our goodness is going to get us to heaven. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We're deceived if we think that we are good. We're deceived if we think we can get to heaven on our own. We live in a society today that is deceived. Why? Because people are lying to themselves. Not only are they lying to themselves, but they're believing the devil's lies as well. The devil's the father of lies. He began, he invented, if you will, lying. He started lying to mankind thousands of years ago, and guess what he's still doing today? He's lying, and he's deceiving, and guess what? He's good at it. He's good at it. He's trying to sell you on something, but know this, that the devil always over-promises and under-delivers. He's going to promise you something that's going to turn out so good, and you're going to find out in the end it was so bad. I think of Judas, one of the 12 disciples, followed Jesus, sat at his feet, treasurer, and yet the night that they took the Lord's Supper, as we did, they took that sop, and Jesus Christ showed that Judas would be the one to betray him. And for 30 pieces of silver, he sold out the Savior. He got 30 pieces of silver out of it, right? Man, he was get rich quick on that, wasn't it? Until in the end, when he didn't want it anymore. In the end, when he went to go give the money back, begging for forgiveness, and they said, we don't want that anymore. He believed a lie. Went out and hung himself and ended his life because he was so deceived. He couldn't live with the shame that the Bible says that he was indwelt by Satan himself, and it was a shame that he was even born, the Bible says. People today are being deceived in this world. The world is trying to sell you on something, but they're not telling you the truth. Here's the thing. Satan's going to tell you a lie, but God will always tell you the truth. We can be deceived today, but that's, to be honest, by choice. If you know the truth, you have the Word of God, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free, the Bible says. We don't have to be deceived. We have the truth. Number one is this, be not deceived, but also is this, God is not mocked. We live in a society today that mocks God. We mock the name of God. Not me. I hope not you as well. If so, could you step outside and get us clear from that lightning bolt strike? But know this, that people are mocking the name of God today. They mock the existence of God. They mock the power of God. They mock the Word of God. But know this, that God is not mocked. God is not mocked, the Bible says. To be mocked is to be disrespected, to dishonor, and to ignore God. Are we in a society today that wants to disrespect and dishonor the Word of God and God Himself and ignore God? Some say that God is not real. Some say that they can live their own lives and do as they want, and that is true. But as we mentioned already today, that one day you'll stand before God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. They may get the mocking in now, but someday you're going to stand before God and answer whether or not you know that you're saved and going to heaven, and the blood of Jesus Christ speaks for you. But if you're lost, you'll stand before God and answer for your sin, and you'll be condemned to a place called hell. God is not mocked. I think of Pharaoh when Moses came to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses came, and 10 different times and 10 different plagues that Moses decided he would not let people, God's people, go. And Pharaoh said this, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? How dare us come before God and his word and say, who is the Lord that I should obey God? Know this, that God is not mocked. It took the death of the firstborn, and they let the Israelites go, and they followed hard after, and God swallowed it up in the sea to prove and to show them that God is not mocked. If you think that God can be mocked today, the reaping is going to come. Know this, that God is real, that God makes the rules, and if God says it, it is true. The book of Numbers says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God says it, it's going to happen. The reap what you sow principle, we can sow and plant things that are wrong, but the reaping is going to come. Why? Because God is not mocked. Sowing and reaping principles, it's about your choices and your actions and the consequences, whether good or bad, from that sowing and reaping. Principles of sowing and reaping, we'll go through them somewhat quickly this morning. First of all is this: sow now, reap later. You sow now and you reap later. Young people, if you could understand right now that the devil would love nothing more than to ruin a young, innocent life, that he'd love to throw away to this world, and you think, I can just play around with the sin for a little bit, I can just get on the internet, play around with a friend, and it's not going to matter. You sow now and you reap later. I talked to a young man just the other day that said, I messed my life up, I threw away everything that was good in my life, and now I realize what I had after a whole lot of bad decisions were made. You sow now, you will reap later. The Bible says, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You make your own choices, but you will reap from those choices later on. When is the later coming? I don't know. It could be a day, it could be a week, a month, or a year, but the reaping will come. You sow now and you reap later. You might weep later as well, I'm not sure. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, that it is coming. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Why? Because God knows and God sees, and God will either bring the blessing or the correction that comes from that. If you sow and you plant, you put that seed in the ground, you ever planted and you ever thought, when is it ever going to come up? When is it ever going to produce? When is it ever going to grow? The seed germination process for plants can take different amounts of times. Some can take just under a week from the time that you plant that seed and you water it, gets the sunlight, and you start to see it sprout. Sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes it takes months to finally see the growth that come. But know this, you plant the seed, it's going to come up. In our lives, if we plant the seed of wickedness, what's going to come up from that? The wickedness will come back from that as well. But if you plant the seeds of righteousness, as we'll see as well, the blessings will come from that as well. But know this, that you sow now and you reap later. How many of you, if you knew the decisions that you would make when you were a young person, how they affect you now, wouldn't have made better choices? You think now to the choices that you made in relationships, maybe your health, maybe friendships and things that you did in your life, and you said, if I could go back, I would undo the wrong that I did. I don't understand, first of all, people that say, if I could go back, I wouldn't change a thing. Well, first of all, you're a fool if you wouldn't go back and change the sin and the wrong that you did, the things that you have a choice over. You sow now and you reap later. You are reaping now what you planted in the past. We can complain about the harvest, but if you planted it and it's coming, you're the only one to blame. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But also this, what you're planting now, you will reap in the future. What you're planting, the choices you make right now, are going to come out in the future. Are you following and obeying the Word of God? Are you living your life opposite from the Word of God? You will reap later. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You sow now, you reap later. But number two is this, you sow to the flesh or to the Spirit. You have two choices, to sow to the flesh or the Spirit. Verse number 8 says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the capital S, Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Some may say, well, it's not really good and it's not really bad. It's somewhere in the middle. You know that God is pretty black and white on what we should do and what we shouldn't do. It's either holy or it's unholy. It's either right or it's wicked. That God has told us we're sowing to the flesh and will of the flesh reap corruption. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be involved in corruption. I don't really want corruption in my home and in my life, but my choices decide how it's going to turn out. You're sowing to the flesh or you're sowing to the Spirit. How many of us today in this room are sowing to the flesh? You think, but Pastor Becker, I'm in church and I have a Bible and I'm saved. But how many Christians are sowing to the flesh today and you're going to reap the consequences later because we're messing around with things that we shouldn't in a wicked lifestyle that God would not condone? We're sowing to the flesh. We're going to reap corruption. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart is deceitful. Your heart lies to you. My heart lies to me and says, it's okay. You'll get away with it. It's not that bad. Not a big deal. But God says, it's wicked. And the Bible says, who can know it? Romans chapter 7 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do not place confidence in the flesh, because our flesh will reap corruption, the Bible says. But the Bible says, he that soweth to the Spirit, look at that, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hey, you get to choose if you're planting good or if you're planting bad today. You're sowing to the flesh, wickedness, or you're sowing to the Spirit, doing what's right. The Spirit, capital S, Spirit. Do you love God today? Do you love God's Word today? Are you following God and His Word today? Are you trusting in God today? If you're sowing to the Spirit, you will reap, the Bible says, life everlasting. You say, well, in my past, I planted a lot of things that were wrong. Well, why not start planting things that are right? Why not turn that ship around and get back in the right direction? Aren't you thankful that we have a merciful God? A God that knows we're sinners, knows that we fail, know we mess up, but that merciful God allowed Jonah, who ran from God, thrown overboard. He'd have rather have died than go preach in Nineveh. But God said, I still have a plan for you. That whale swallowed him up. In 3 days, he prayed to God, and God in his mercy, instead of killing him, he sent him out, spit him on dry ground, and he went running and preached in Nineveh, and they repented. That's the mercy of God, that we'll make mistakes, and God knows we will, but God is forgiving as well. So to the Spirit. Maybe you've planted a lot of things on the wrong side of the tracks, but why not get them on the right side today? Why not sow to the Spirit today and make wise and right choices for you, but also for your family? There's people around you that they're living your consequences and mine as well. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Next one is this, you sow and reap the benefits. We're going to reap corruption or we're going to reap life everlasting, but you choose which one it's going to be. Have you ever heard or seen a medication that might be good for you until you read the side effects? You think, I'd rather be sick. I'd rather lose the arm. I'd rather not see. You know, it's going to help and heal you, but you're going to lose your taste, nausea, rash, memory loss, dizziness, and I'm not going to go any further because there's things I hear that I think I don't want to hear that stuff. The other day I heard a list of them and I thought, why would anyone ever take that medication? Lord, I'm ready to meet you. But you reap the benefits. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You make the choices, you're planting, you're sowing, but is it worth what's going to come? So here's what it takes. I've got to look at my choices and where's it going to go a year down the road? Where's it going to take me 10 years down the road? Where am I going to end up? Are you going to be in the will of God or out of the will of God? Many times we say, well, it's not that big a deal. It's changing the course of your life. And many times others around you sow and reap the benefits. Understand this, that God punishes sin. God must punish sin because He's a holy God. He must punish our sin. But I'm thankful that God has mercy and grace and forgiveness because He knows we will fail. But know this also, not only does God punish sin, but God rewards righteousness. God rewards you when you do what's right. In Galatians 6, 9, I love this verse, how it ends with this verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God warns us, stay away from doing wrong. But he also says this, but don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing right. Don't get weary when you look at this world. Don't get weary from the attacks of the devil. Don't get weary. Just keep doing what's right. In due season, the Bible says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Just continue. Just continue. Why? Because God rewards righteousness. God can reward you with a godly home. God can reward you with a blessed life. God can reward you with peace in your heart as you follow after God. But it's your choice. We're planting. We're sowing. We're putting our choices in the ground each and every day. And God's going to either bring punishment or he's going to bring blessings that come from that. The book of Psalms says this, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet now have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. For he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I'm thankful that we serve a God that blesses. That God not only punishes the wrong, but he blesses those that do what's right. You say, but look at the world around us. Yeah, look at the world around us. Well, what about you, though? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's your choices. Your choices today. You're sowing and planting right. Blessings will come from that. You're sowing wickedness. That will come from that as well. You reap what you sow. You make the choices. You're planting. I want to encourage you with this thought today. Look down the road. Where are your choices taking you for your future? Many times we make choices as sinful, fleshly, human people. We make choices just for today. How does it make me happy today? How does it make me happy right now? What do I want right now? You start living by the flesh, your emotions, and your feelings. You're going down a dangerous road. A dangerous road if you're living by your feelings. Instead of living by your feelings, live by the truth. Live by the convictions from the Word of God. Why? Because God's trying to spare you. God's trying to warn you from that life and saying, don't go there. But he's trying to lead you in the right direction. It's your choice today. Look at the choices and look how it's going to turn out. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Keep doing right. Keep on the right path. You fail and you fall, you get back up, but you keep going. Why? Because God will bless those that sow and plant those things that are right. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. You reap what you sow. What are you planting today? What are you putting in the ground of your life today? And how are you going to reap in the future? You think, well, I'm planting now, but I don't want to reap that later on. You had your choice to begin with. You don't have your choice how it turns out. We choose the beginning. God gave you a free will and a free choice with your life. You choose how it starts. God chooses how it ends. Most important choice you can make in your life is the matter of salvation. You sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You could apply that to salvation. Do you know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Jesus Christ died in your place. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ, none of yourself, all of God. If you don't know you're saved today, you can trust in the Lord as your Savior. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is to trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you know you're saved and you think, but I'm not making the best choices in my life. You could change that today. God can help you with that today. You can turn that thing around. God, would you please bless this invitation time this morning as we take this time to pray before you. Maybe there's some that need to trust in you as their Savior. Would they please come today? Maybe there's some that need to get right with you today and confess some sins and get on the right track. Maybe there's others today that need to just stay on the right track and not be weary in well-doing.